Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Welcome to the Real Vision Podcast Network.
Briefing coming to you live from Las Vegas. It's December 9th, 2021. I'm Maggie Lake, and I'm here with Ash Bennington, and we are here for a special edition of the Real Briefing, the Daily Real Vision Daily Briefing from the Real Vision takeover of Las Vegas at the MGM Grand. And now I know a lot of you are used to seeing Ash and I tag team on the Daily Briefing, but we're doing it together today. And it's actually the first time that we've met in person, right, Ash?
Yes, it is. Thank you so much for having me. This is a lot of fun. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, and it's so fun to be live, right? Finally, after all this time doing everything virtual, it's kind of cool to be here and start to like see people drift in. We're just at the beginning of the event, but we can see everyone getting their badges behind us. So it's going to be kind of fun to meet everyone in person.
Yeah, we're right in front of the registration desk. We can see off to our side all the people beginning to file in. Incredibly exciting to be here. We should say you can still buy tickets for the online version of this event right now. You can check on Twitter, I believe, for a Twitter discount code, which
is very exciting. That's
yes.
right. And I
for
know
Real
people
Vision
are going
to
want to do that. So I want to talk about some of the cool things that we're going to be doing here because I know people are going to be interested. But let's get a little check of the market action as we always do. Little bit of a quiet day in some sectors. Stocks, U.S. stocks a little bit mixed. Not a lot of data out today. We had the Dow down. NASDAQ is hanging on, NASDAQ rather down, Dow hanging on a little bit, but we did see Bitcoin down below 47,000 again, and that's been really interesting to watch. And on some of the days, that's where most of the action's been. And I wanted to get your thoughts about something because we've been hearing some frustration from guests, from community members about the volatility we're seeing, especially in Bitcoin. And a lot of them have said, listen, I thought this was going to be an alternative, maybe a way for me to hedge, an alternative store value. And instead, it seems to be trading in tandem with risk assets. What do you make of that? What are you hearing from the crypto community? Are you hearing the same kind of frustration?
Well, you know, I would say no one likes to lose money on any trade or investment. And when people buy into something and it goes down rather steeply, that's obviously an unpleasant and difficult thing to experience. So 2 points, I think, inherent in what you're saying. So number one is this cross-asset correlation. Some really interesting work has been done on the cross-asset correlation work by Kathy Wood and her shop have done this analysis looking at what assets Bitcoin is correlated with. Mm. I mean, the thrill that most people got from the institutional side coming into this asset class was that it was an asset class that wasn't correlated to other assets, which being able to generate alpha in a way that's
And that was the appeal, right?
Absolutely. But look, the reality is we have global central banks who have been in a highly accommodative mode now for about a decade. You have globally coordinated central bank policy, easy money. We have fiscal stimulus. When some of that stuff creeps in, it's probably not surprising that people are going to buy into the best performing asset class of the year, of the decade. So it's probably not surprising to see it. Now, obviously, it's difficult for people who just come in and this is their introduction to the space. But the other thing I wanted to point out was the directionality of this trade over a longer time horizon, which I think is important to understand, trade or investment, depending upon your perspective. So first, on a 30-day basis, Bitcoin is down 28%. That's obviously painful. That's a gut check for people who just got into the space. However, on a 90-day basis, it's up 7%. Now, this gives you a sense of just how volatile this asset class is, trading at about an 80 vol or thereabout.
Yeah.
But over a longer time horizon, one year time horizon, Bitcoin up 162%.
So it all depends
So it all depends where you got in. But really, what it's talking about, what it speaks to, the point that it makes for me very clearly, is this is a highly volatile asset. It goes up and goes down. But in the longer term, if you look at the long-term chart, if you look at a 10-year chart, clearly it's been massively up and to the right. But it is volatile.
And
people need to understand
that. People are wondering now, as it matures, though, you know, are you going to see that climb that you did, which was pretty consistent? I mean, you did have this year has been very volatile, but prior to that, are we in for a sort of a new era of volatility, or is this just sort of you know, based on the conditions we're seeing. Remember, we had Jay Powell come out, shows you how old I am. Wrong Fed chief. Jay Powell come out and say, surprise everybody. Yep. At the same time, a new variant emerged. So you had this right around thin holiday trading. You've had a lot of unexpected events happening. So we have to remember against that context. Yep. But I do think people are wondering if now we're going to see a little differentiation, maybe more institutional names in Bitcoin. Is that going to mean it's more volatile versus some of the other cryptos? I don't know. What do you think? What did Bitcoin versus ETH say? I mean, is that held up better?
ETH has held up better, certainly. You asked the question, is this the new era of volatility? I might joke that it's the old era of volatility.
Yes, that's right.
If you're in front of your computer.
For a newish asset class.
Yeah, if you're in front of your computer, you have a phone. Just Google the phrase max drawdown chart Bitcoin, and what you will see is that we've had a significant series, I think 5 or more, 80%+ max drawdown events in the history of Bitcoin. So this is really par for the course. This is the way the asset is traded, certainly for as long as I've been watching the space. When you look at the chart, pretty clear, more or less from the beginning, this has been a highly volatile asset.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think the difference is now you have people who are maybe newer to it. By the way, this shows you, I think, what's happening at Thanksgiving. My 75-year-old father-in-law was asking, what's Bitcoin? Like, how do I get exposure? And this is where it's at now. So I think there's more attention on the volatility as opposed to people been in it longer and understand
that's
history.
Right. Yeah, and I think also there are people who are not, perhaps if you look at the early history of Bitcoin, the people who were invested in the space were really sort of partisans of the technology. They felt very strongly about it. This was something that they thought, whether it goes up tomorrow or down tomorrow, I'm interested in this tech. And now, to an extent, when it's reaching a larger retail audience, I suppose it's natural that people who have a less strong affinity for it, they just, you know, they heard that the guy or gal they were playing tennis with over the weekend said, hey, I made X% return in Bitcoin, and now they want to come in. Right?
And that's very true. By the way, it's worth mentioning out too, stock market volatile, right? Traditional assets also have periods of volatility. Right. So this is not unusual to any type of investing. One of the cool things, back to this sort of event we're doing here, one of the things I'm really excited about is how interactive it's going to be. And I'm going to be doing a session with Denise Schull of Rethink. For those who don't know her or may not be familiar with her, she's a performance advisor and is the person that many people believe that Wendy Rhodes from the series Billions is based on. I think it's a pretty well-known fact. And she's going to be doing a session called Mental Modeling, How to Deal with Volatility in Crypto. Could we think of a better time for that now, especially as more people are introduced to it? And it's really cool. We're going to do some mini sessions with people in the live audience, as well as take some problem trades from those in the virtual audience and try to work through some of them. And I'm going to give a little teaser here. And if you think trying to put your emotions out of the equation is the answer, that's not what she says. So I'm super excited about that. Who are some of the people you're excited to hear from here?
Well, we've got a lot of great guests. I just jotted down some names who I'm particularly excited to hear from. Mark Yusko over at Morgan Creek, sort of one of my favorite traditional asset managers who's gotten involved in the crypto space, who always has, I think, insightful things to say. I think Bill Tai is kicking off with Raoul, so that's going to be an amazing.
Tonight, I think.
I think it's tonight. It's going to be an amazing session. Really looking forward to that. Pierce Kicks, really great person to talk about the metaverse. I think probably the person who turned Raoul most on to the concept of the metaverse in the beginning several years ago.
In fact, I think one of our sessions, I think, don't quote me on this, might be that the metaverse is eating everything, or the metaverse will eat everything or something like that. So that's going to be super fun.
Some interesting questions there. Dr. Pippa Malgram, always one of my favorite Real Vision guests. And Timbaland is at the conference tonight. So.
I think there's like a whole bunch of rock stars here, I think, too, which we're all running around talking about who we want to connect with and meet up with, which is going to be fun. You know, we have, and again, by the way, if you're not registered, virtual option, if you can't be here, but also be sure to follow us on social and all of our outlets. We will be sort of bringing some of the best highlights.
Hey, by the way, there's still general admission tickets left. So if you're in LA or something and you just want to jump in the car, only 3-hour drive.
All right. Well, there you go. Now that you know who's coming. Yeah. But back to the business of the day, because we always do that on the daily briefing. So we had some deals, some action. Walk us through some of what you were paying attention to. First one, Ledger, FTX partnership. What's going on there?
Yeah, so
and give us some background for those who may not be in this space.
Yeah, so Ledger is one of the two primary producers of hardware wallets in the crypto space, and FTX is obviously a very large global exchange. They are partnering. This is a really interesting partnership, I think, because it begins to talk about what's at stake here with the custody problem. Mm-hmm. So you basically have two ways to solve the custody problem. You can do it through through a third party who custodies the assets for you, or you can find technological solutions. Two choices there, software and hardware. Overwhelmingly, hardware appears to be the more stable, more secure option among the two.
Now, so, and custody, you're talking about ownership of your crypto for those on the learning journey?
Okay. That's right, that's right. So if you own Facebook stock, you own it in the name of E-Trade or Charles Schwab or whoever your broker is. When you buy cryptocurrency, you have the option of taking it in a non-custodial wallet yourself. If you do that and you're custodying your own assets, the question of how do you keep those assets secure
is incredibly
important.
This is one of the big issues as more people enter this space, right? It's, I think where, where most of the confusion and sort of barrier to entry is, right?
I think that's true. I think that's right. I think the way that people who are handling it generally for, who are a little bit newer to the space is just have third parties custody those assets for them. For example, to store them on the Coinbase exchange or wherever your FTX or Gemini, whoever your vendor of choice is. But people want more control of their assets, and it's sort of very dodgy to do it with software alone, just storing it on your local computer. So Ledger and their main competitors, Tezzer, also offers these hardware wallets. But it's really interesting to see an exchange partnering with a hardware provider. It sort of suggests that maybe there's some maturation happening in the space, and also people who want to take control of their own assets, particularly if you have larger positions. If you're just speculating with a couple $100, you're probably not as concerned about it. But if you have a real position in cryptocurrency, you're going to either want to start with a custodian or you're going to want a hardware solution to secure your keys.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back with more of the day's top analysis on the Real Vision Daily Briefing.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
Welcome back to Real Vision's Daily Briefing. Let's get right back to the top analysis of today's markets.
You know, it's interesting, as we see this happen, you talked about the market maturing maybe a little bit, maybe this is a first sign. I also wonder if we're going to see more, if not partnerships, outright mergers. I mean, are we at that point yet, or is it too sort of early on the wave of all of these companies who are looking at that space? Because I imagine you've got some big institutions. This is always what we talk about, right? Waiting to kind of get in, and since they don't have first mover advantage, just sort of, you know, spend their money.
Yeah, or second or third or fourth mover advantage, particularly for laggards in the space. And I think that traditional financial institutions have been cautious in their approach, which is completely understandable. So I think it's entirely possible that we will see a wave of consolidations and purchases. I guess it depends on broader macro monetary positioning as well. But it does seem like there are a lot of names in the space, and it does seem like it's quite ripe for consolidation, acquisition.
And regulation, too. And we are going to have one of our sessions is going to be on the relationship in the SEC as well. And we've got some people who are specialists in that area, which is going to be interesting. I mean, that's the nuts and bolts. Sometimes not the exciting headlines, but ultimately that's going to be super important.
Absolutely.
Another development, Bill Gates. Bill Gates is in the metaverse. Is that true?
Yeah, so Microsoft announced their metaverse strategy actually a couple of weeks ago, but Bill Gates posted his end of year blog post, and he's talking about his bullishness for the metaverse and what the metaverse is going to mean. Now, you could say, like, clearly this is a play. He's, I believe, still the largest or second largest shareholder in Microsoft.
Right, so are you suggesting that someone scripted it for him, Ash? Is that what you're saying?
I think he's genuinely...
And wheeled him in front of the camera and said, say this?
Listen, I think he's genuinely curious. Bill Gates has been a sort of curious seeker. He's a great reader, and he's been doing this blog for a very long time. I think he is genuinely curious about it. I think it also probably dovetails very nicely with the fact that one of the largest market cap publicly traded corporations in the world, of which he is, I believe, the second largest owner after Steve Ballmer, is getting significantly into the business. Probably let's call it a catalyst.
That's right. Synergy.
Even synergy. Better, yes. It's a synergy.
Switching gears a little bit, Evergrande. Yeah. Evergrande officially defaulted.
Yeah.
Does that, I mean, we've been hearing about this so much. And by the way, there were so many, we got so many questions. I feel like they've tailed off a bit, but so many questions about Evergrande and what was going on and what this meant for China and whether, I think the beginning they were really related to the potential for systemic risk,
right,
and whether that was going to show up. But what's happening there? And does it matter as much now that we kind of have been anticipating it in some way for a long time?
Listen, I'm not sure we really know what's happening. This is
that's right. I saw you smiling before that answer. So that full disclosure, no one knows what's happening in China.
Yeah, look, China is a very opaque place in terms of markets. We don't have the transparency that we would in the US or Western Europe. So I think there are a couple of sort of ideas about why this may be happening. First, that perhaps the Chinese real estate sector is looking very overbid, very bubblicious. People have been talking about this for some time. Mm. There have been a number of essays circulating comparing present-day China to Japan in the 1980s, in those days when the Japanese Imperial Gardens were valued at more on a dollar basis than all the real estate in California. So there is this question about some of the macroeconomics of what's happening in China and what the risk is. The second question that I've begun to see be explored here in the Western media, but it's just they're kind of scratching at the surface, but I think it may be a factor, which is to what extent, so Evergrande is headquartered and regulated out of Hong Kong, which is a special administrative region of China, part of their One China policy, obviously, but has some limited autonomy. Mm. Some really interesting stuff that's happening there, we know with the delisting of Didi coming up,
that just
may be part of a similar story. These bonds are dollar denominated, which is very interesting. Mm. So I'm curious now if this may be the Hong Kong Monetary Authority beginning to flex its muscle and attempt to get companies that are headquartered in China not to be in dollar-denominated U.S. securities. So I'm wondering to what extent this is a play for Chinese Monetary Authority and the Hong Kong Monetary Authority to attempt to revise and clean up their cap table. That's a story that we're just beginning to catch a glimpse of, but I think that's a really interesting question. In fact, it makes me think we really need to have people on Real Vision who are experts on the ground to talk about this.
Speaking of, I don't even have the information in front of me, but I know because it just hit my calendar that I think it's next week or the week after I'm doing an hour-long Real Vision Live with an expert on China. So send your question in. We will hit them with all of those because
very
it's going to
cool.
be, it's going to be interesting if that's the case. Also, some really interesting conversations about the demographics happening in China. I've had some guests on them drop some really interesting data points, some of them contrary to each other, too. So there's not agreement about the trajectory for the economy, the handling of some of the policies. Really, really interesting stuff. But demographics, sort of one of those themes that's hitting across so many of the conversations I'm having, you know, what's happening with how these developed economies and China are going to manage the labor force participation rate and the sort of shrinking populations. That's really brewing behind the scenes. It's one of those topics that don't come up in traditional media.
Yeah.
So many of our really smart, forward-thinking guests are really starting to drill down on it. Rao's, that's a point that he's been focused on as well.
And so, by the way, once again, the T word, transparency on the Chinese data to get a sense of what the veracity
is. And even for China experts, it's so, so difficult unless you're actually operating in there. And when you are, you're often limited to what you can say. So it's a tough one. We're going to get as many people on as we can to walk us through that because it matters for everyone, right? The Chinese economy is so critical to the global economy that we need to, even if you don't have exposure to China, you really need to know and understand what's going on there.
Yeah.
Coppola back in the news, but we're talking like next gen. What's happening here?
Yeah, I saw this story. Roman Coppola is in a venture called Decentralized Pictures that was announced today.
Not DeFi, DePi.
DePi. That's pretty cool, Maggie. DePi. You may have a place in Hollywood with that phrase.
Hardly.
So what they're talking about doing is basically decentralizing some of the process for things like building relationships, pitching scripts, actors. I thought it was really interesting. Look, it's very early, but I'm really interested in things that aren't just financial aspects of blockchain. The idea of basically changing
so cool.
the governance structure of how Hollywood films get produced, made, fascinating.
That
topic,
is
right?
so cool. Also, so interesting for somebody who's on the inside, right? Who knows the way the system really works. You know, like from the Coppola family.
Yes.
And that it's always that middleman, right? Trying to remove the middleman.
Exactly.
As a barrier. That's a consistent theme through all of it, which is going to come up a huge amount here. I know we have so interesting because music has really been on the lead end of. When we're talking about blockchain, we're talking about NFT. It seems like the music industry has been really aggressive in adopting this, but I'm not so sure about film and Hollywood. So it's interesting to see that come up.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. The music industry has been ahead of the film industry in this, and perhaps it's because of the experience that they had with the first generation of music sharing platforms with Napster.
Yeah, they know a little bit about the disruption that technology can bring.
Right, exactly. You either disrupt yourself or someone else disrupts you for you. Mm. And so I think maybe that it's people who are thinking about being a little bit more forward thinking about it. American Zoetrope, this which is Francis Ford Coppola's film studio, they've always been very innovative and forward thinking about a series of things. So bringing this ethos of the open source movement and decentralization to the movie business, fascinating. Again, very, very early, just a news headline that I saw, but it sparked something in me to think about that.
I think it's so interesting. And for anyone who has friends that are creatives, that are creators, it's the hardest thing, right? There's so many talented people and so many amazing projects and scripts. We've seen streaming start to change that a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Just the fact that there's an outlet for a lot more people,
right,
and more content available. Now, if you actually change the mechanism,
right,
on the discovery of those projects, there are also projects that sit in, I had a lot of friends who are filmmakers and screenwriters, and mm-hmm. And the frustration, even if it gets bought, it sits in rot someplace,
right,
because somebody buys the rights to it just so it doesn't get made. I mean, all kinds of crazy stuff like that. So this would presumably kind of blow open a hole in that. I think we're going to get some interesting comments on
and
that.
By the way, we've seen it in the crowdsourcing movement more generally, right? The idea that somebody designs like a really cool coat and it's got like a, you know, your microphone is integrated in it and you can do all these things, right? And you can actually just go out and put it on one of the crowdsourcing platforms to get funding.
Yeah,
so why not see something similar to that?
Yeah, crowdfunding, absolutely. Yeah, Kickstarter, and some huge projects have come out of it.
Yeah, Slava Rubin, we recently had on Real Vision, and I had a conversation about that space, which she was very prominent in being one of the primary creators of in the crowdsourcing funding movement.
That's awesome.
Version 1.0 now, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And then another deal, Polygon. Mir, what's happening there? These are not names that are familiar to me, so walk us through that.
Yeah, so Polygon.
I keep drinking water. I hope this isn't the only thing I get to drink in Vegas, by the way. But right, but right now,
when the camera shut off, all
caffeine,
bets are off.
That tells you everything you need to know about the working crew here. Water and caffeine is what we're living on at the moment.
Yeah, so this is an interesting one to me as well. Polygon is a layer two solution, a scaling solution for Ethereum, purchasing MIR, M-I-R. They're doing zero knowledge proof work. And one of the things that's interesting to me about this is they purchased it in Matic, basically in their own native cryptocurrency. So it's a pretty cool thing to be able to spend $400 million or whatever the number is to be able to go out and purchase someone who's doing complementary work using your own coin. Right.
That's
fascinating.
Yeah,
it gives you access to capital and for acquisitions in a way that you would not have had had you
and
not
maybe
had
a peek
that.
Again, a peek at the future of what can happen if these markets get more mature. One of the interesting things, especially for our audience, I think, that's listening, we get a lot of questions about, especially as we're coming to year end, right? Everyone's trying to figure out how can I protect what I've made, right? How can I not? And that was really coming through when we started to see these markets get very volatile, because almost across every asset class, we've seen you know, mega tech get killed and then come back, as it always tends to do. We've seen bonds have big moves, so that may be a little bit more on the institutional side, and some of our, cue the music for bonds. and then we have seen crypto, some of the people starting to tiptoe in, and then that's been volatile. So people are really concerned about how to protect their money. So one of the things we have here is the new asset allocation. I think that's maybe a hint to the conversation of whether 60-40, how do you fit new asset classes in, where should you think about that, is there a place for things like NFTs in your portfolio?
Is the 60-40 portfolio still a thing?
No, we keep saying it's dead, and then I'll find a guest on who says it's not, especially on the macro side. Some of the big bonds guys will not let that go, I will tell you. And the 60-40 switch, by the way, the makeup, by the way, is not what you would think too, especially as we've seen those inflation prints. Some of the people, like, this is the time, and some of the gold people also, you know, really arguing for a place in your portfolio, and then other people will come and say that ship has passed. So there's a lot of disagreement right now, I think, on exactly what to do as we head into the end of this crazy year and on to the next one.
We're going to take another quick break and be right back with more of the day's top analysis on the Real Vision Daily Briefing.
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free Bright Side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
Welcome back to Real Vision's Daily Briefing. Let's get right back to the top analysis of today's markets.
Another session that we're going to have is how to build a crypto portfolio.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. We don't even know if you might be emceeing that. We don't know yet because we're just running around everywhere. But that's going to be a really interesting one. And I wonder what the conversation will revolve around that. What do you hear from the people that you, because you have so many conversations in the crypto community.
Yeah.
Are they all in on crypto normally if they're in that community, especially for the, you know, for the ones early, or are they spread throughout other asset classes?
It depends. It varies greatly depending on who you talk to. I think a lot of people who are very early to the space are incredibly passionate about it. Many right. of them tend to be a bit younger, so they have a longer horizon to endure volatility. But obviously, this is not financial advice, and this is the sort of thing that you need to think about on your own, understanding yeah. your own risks and tolerance and needs. And this is why financial advisors can be very helpful. For
yeah.
example,
one of the things that I know Real Vision is really leaning on right now and doing is education, right? There's a whole yeah. sort of channel about how to understand these new markets, because you have to be educated before you go in it. You know, like someone like you has been doing it for so long. I'm much earlier on the learning journey on this. And so trying to understand this and not just follow the headline is really important. I know yeah. something that Raoul and everyone is really passionate about. There's an amazing amount of assets already on the platform for that. And the crypto channel, if I'm not mistaken, which Ash is all over, is free. You just
yes.
free for subscribers, right?
That's right.
You just go to it, put your email in,
yep.
and then you can get all the kind of content.
100% free with registration for all of those products. Obviously, events like this are separate, but
yeah,
on the platform, yeah, absolutely.
Super helpful. So anyone that you're, I know that you mentioned some of the great people we're having. What is the, so this is about blockchain mm-hmm. And how it's changing everything, but there's obviously going to be a lot of conversations around NFTs as well, especially with
right.
Timbaland and everyone here.
Yeah.
What part of it are you most, from a just, someone listening, not someone who's yeah. hosting, but just listening. What are you most excited to hear?
I'm fascinated by the NFT space. And my contention is, and I think Raoul has put forward similar views, is that we don't really even know what NFTs are yet. It's incredibly,
yeah.
incredibly early in the game. When most people talk about NFTs colloquially, what they mean are the sort of artistic and collector aspect of it. In other words, the CryptoPunks, Bored Ape Yacht Club, some of those names that people have mm-hmm. heard us talk about here on Real Vision and have probably heard elsewhere as
right.
well. That's one aspect of what an NFT is. So an NFT fundamentally is a non-fungible token. What does that mean?
Yeah,
so
I know to say yeah. that, but once I start to go further into the definition, I worry that I'm being accurate. So
yeah, no, and I think that's fair. And I think a lot of people, because it's so new, have struggled to get their head around exactly what it is. And what makes a non-fungible token is the fact that it has a unique digital fingerprint. Mm. Now, when you own one Bitcoin or one-tenth of one Bitcoin, it's very much the same as owning, for example, a $100 bill. If you have a $100 bill and I have a $100 bill, we can swap them. You don't care, I don't care, it doesn't matter. They're fully fungible. They're mm. equal in every aspect. Non-fungible tokens are different. Non-fungible tokens have a unique digital fingerprint that specifies precisely which token it is. Now, the use case that's come out very early, and one that frankly surprised me, was the passion that people have for collecting, the passion people have for art and music, which I think kind of makes sense because it's very much a humanizing aspect of this culture.
Yeah.
I think it can seem, particularly to people from the outside, it can seem, you know, very kind of mathy, very dry, very computer science heavy, very finance
yes,
heavy.
Yes.
But something about NFTs have really struck a chord in people, and you can see it when you go to the events. The level of excitement and enthusiasm that people feel for it, it's a very human connection that they feel
yeah.
to this technology. So that's just one use case, and I think there are many, many more use cases that are going to come the further we dive down. So I'm really excited to hear about some of those. To answer your question in a very long-winded way.
No, it's great. I think that's a great comment because it kind of speaks to the community at the center of all of this, right? I know there's a lot of conversations, whether it's around crypto and the creation
yeah.
of a coin, because the community surrounding each one is so, I get the questions all the time. Some of them on Daily Briefing is so committed to there, and we see it on the Twitter feed especially, so
yeah.
convinced that the one they're supporting is the right one. But with NFTs, you really see that ability to come around
right.
in a community way. That's really critical. Do you think it's going to really expand? Like, what? how accessible is that? Is that a more accessible part of the market to the ordinary person, or is it still tough?
I think it's actually harder for technical reasons. So one of the things that we talk about all the time in the space is the UI, UX, this is the user interface, user experience aspect of it. Buying an NFT, there are a lot of hops to get there, right? So if you're listening
My brother just experimented with this, and he is computer-minded, and he said it was not that easy, but he was super interested in it.
Yeah, it's not. And look, the reality is it's going to need to get simpler to get a mass audience, but the fascinating thing is how many people who are not computer savvy, who are not really digital natives, because of the artistic aspect of it, because they felt an emotional connection to the artwork or to the music or whatever it is they're interested in, have gone that extra mile to go through all of those hops to get there. So I think that that's something that we're going to see. It's a barrier right now, and I think as that on-ramp gets made smoother, there are a lot of participants who want to do exactly that. I think we're going to see more adoption.
Yeah, well, it's also jumped to the mainstream in a different way because there's so many celebrities who are who are involved and engaged in this. Did that surprise you? Especially when we're talking about athletes.
Right.
I mean, this is a really, what do you make of that? Is it just a way to sort of monetize their likeness, their fame, their achievements?
I think it's probably in all of the above. Yeah. I think that people do obviously are interested in monetizing their own businesses. Athletes.
Another way, because Tom Brady and I forget who else is leading the way and need that extra revenue stream.
Yeah, sure. But look, athletes, musicians, entertainers, actors are very savvy these days. Mm-hmm. Many of them are very bright. They have great teams around them who are advising them. So it makes perfect sense that they want to get involved in something where they can take ownership of their own intellectual property and also maintain a direct relationship with their fans. So I think both of those are a factor, and I think probably the investment opportunity not lost, right? More generally speaking.
Yeah, and we don't have We see the big numbers, but it's not being sort of charted and tracked on a daily basis the way that we look at the rest of the markets.
So early, right?
Yeah, so early. It's so early, right? But in a way that because of the exposure of it, it'd be interesting to see if you do have people who are sort of paying attention. Bitcoin, those things were trading a long time before we started seeing them all over our website.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting. So we're heading into Friday, last trading day of the week. Mm-hmm. We're going to be running around, but I'm going to be here tomorrow with Raul talking about what's happening and getting his thoughts. So if you have any questions ahead of time, I'm just going to flag right now, send them in. We'll do our best. We didn't do questions today because we're just getting set up here and finding our way, but we will hopefully be able to work some of them in. So the sooner you get them in for tomorrow, the sooner we'll be able to ask them, and we'll try to bring you all the highlights of the great event we're going to have here.
Absolutely. And still tickets left if you're interested in streaming the takeover.
Awesome stuff. Ashley, it's so fun to be here with you in person and to finally meet you in person. And I think we both found out that we're originally from the state of New Jersey. Is that right?
I believe we have a very strong Jersey contingent.
The Garden State. You can never get that far away from it.
Jersey strong.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's going to be so fun. That's it from us today. Thank you so much for watching and rolling with us as we do this live, just getting set up. And it's going to be a really fantastic event. We can't wait to bring you all the news. Get your questions in, and we'll see you here same time tomorrow with Raul Powell. Thanks so much for watching. As usual, take care and good luck out there.